if, you know, we talk, some say we like to brag too much or talk too much about the same thing. But I like to talk about the healing of God. When he touch you and heal you, it's something different about it. Now, nobody may not see it but you, but you know. I think for the last week, it was two, three weeks ago, I couldn't walk. I wasn't able to come to church that Sunday. This week, I went to the doctor, and he looked at it and asked, so what's wrong? He said, well, I said, how old are you? I told him, he said, well, you got bones of an 78-year-old man. I said, well, that's all right. But God still heals 78-year-old men, still bring us through. So whatever you got, just trust God, because he made that promise. He never went back on it. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. So we were healed. And I believe it every day. Sometimes for a while, I couldn't walk hardly from here to halfway back through the seats. People ringing the phone, and I don't answer. Why don't you answer your phone? Well, I go in one room and it's there, and it's ringing. I go in another room and it's there. But I don't have time or strength to get to the telephone. But just amen. Keep trusting in God. He's going to bring you through it all.
Amen. Right. Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 105.
Amen.
Let us pray first. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful for your kindness and your mercy unto us. Lord, we know that all you promise unto us, God, we can receive it. So let us have the faith and trust in you, Lord, and take your word and walk forth in it. Lord Jesus, we promise you. We've seen where you walked. Lord, let us follow your footsteps. We ask you today, Lord, for everyone that's present and hear my voice, Lord, touch them. And heal them, give them that which they have need of and desire in their hearts, Father, for you never turn your back on anyone. God, and we thank you, and we ask you to trust, that our trust be in you. We ask you to remember Brother Wade this morning, especially, Lord, and touch him, that as he bring your words unto us, that we will be able to hear and receive and grow by them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 105. 1 through 15. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people.
Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works.
Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth.
O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Which covenant made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac.
And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance.
When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it.
When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people.
He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he approved kings for their sakes.
Saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my people no harm.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
so glad we're identified in that covenant. Amen. I want to be in that covenant. I see a familiar face with us this morning, Sister Nala. I thought she was still in Nicaragua, and so it's so good to have you back. Is everybody else still over there? Did you come back early? Okay. All right. I'm sure she's filled with a lot of stories and testimonies, and so I've been enjoying the photos and videos they've been posting, and what a testimony. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Brother Boyd, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering? Sing that song, I Surrender All, on page 25. For the Lord to gain preeminence in our lives is just to surrender to Him, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I free. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All. Savior, I surrender all, and all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, and worldly pleasures all forsake. Let that be your prayer this morning. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all, and all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Oh, fill me with Thy love and power. I surrender all. Faith. It's in the key of D. Hallelujah. You know, this song is a wonderful song. I met the author of it up at the men's meeting many years ago, and he was talking about how he came up with the inspiration for this. Set your wings to the winds of faith. As our brother Ron was talking about faith. Faith is just such a powerful thing. Faith and love, they go hand in hand. No matter what trial you go through, I know Sister Frida's on all of her hearts this morning. And just keep her up, lift it up. But set your wings, set your strength on that faith, amen, that God gives us. Oh, there are two roads you may take. Thank you.
your mountain that's much too high. Oh, speak the word of God, and by, oh, it will move, or you will fly.
Spread your wings to the wings of faith. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have all this liquid sunshine going on here. I want to show you something. I was talking to Brother Chris Long yesterday, and he said, man, he said, we've been having some snowfall. I said, well, we've been having some rain, so pull that up. How would y'all like to wake up to this? Next. Yeah, go to the next one. That's his Tahoe. Under that hump. 60 inches of snow in a week. 60 inches. He said, what would y'all do? I said, we'd die. We'd just die. We would, yeah, come back to Georgia. I called him yesterday, and he was huffing and puffing. I said, what are you doing? He said, it took me 2 hours just to get to the door of my car. There's another picture of him right at the door, and it's like this tall above the Tahoe. So thank goodness for the rain today. Amen. If you look at it that way, then everything's fine. Thank goodness. Yeah. Be glad ours didn't turn into solid. It's liquid. Yeah. Well, if 1 inch would be 8 inches of snow, they got a lot of rain. That was that rain he said was out in California. When it came to Flagstaff, it turned into that. So we just want to pray for them, too. He said they were without power for just maybe a few hours. I said, we'd be like 6 months. Thank the Lord. Didn't have every bit of that. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good. Nyla, what are you doing back? Are you the only one that came back? Man, okay. Had enough. So far. Yeah, we want to bring the rest of them back, too. But everybody's been keeping up with them on WhatsApp. Man, what a good time they're having. And it was a good experience, wasn't it, sis? We'll give you time to for y'all to give your testimony and all. We got youth group. We got a youth meeting coming up this coming weekend with Brother Darrell Ward. It'll be Saturday at 3 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. Then we'll have pizza afterwards. And then y'all can have games or whatever you want to do. I think last time, you had Bible trivia, so we can do that. But there'll only be one service Sunday. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us that morning, and there'll be no second service. Remember Brother Bob and Brother Luis and the family, they travel back tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow? Yeah, okay, tomorrow. They'll be in youth service this week, this past week, and it just really thrills our heart to see that many youth there. And right now, that's really refreshing to see a lot of different youth from different places. And they still love the same God. They still have the same problems. They have the same demons. They're just different names, right? Everywhere you go, that's what I said in Jamaica. I said, you got the same demons. They're just called by different names. Amen. So we got to fight them. We're going to fight them. We win. We've already won. We just got to fight the battle. Just keep fighting the battles. Don't put your sword down. Keep fighting. And also remember the sign-up sheet downstairs for the February 11th banquet. Couples, and you can bring a couple with you, need to make sure you sign up by Wednesday, Sister Lisa, 25th. And listen, and we say this every year, and we'll say it one more time. It's, you think, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to make you mad before we even get started. But you think you're so important, I guess, till you wait till the very end. You say, well, I'm coming, or a week after. You can't do that. If you got a doctor's appointment tomorrow at 9 o'clock, guess what? You've prepared to go to that doctor's appointment because you know it's then. If you're not going, tell somebody you're not going. If you're going, write your name down on that list because we have caterers, Sister Lisa, Sister Anna, June, my mom, different ones that work in the getting it together. We have to get little things for every couple and for every person and gifts and prizes. We give away a lot of money that night, but we want to be able to have that banquet where we can have enough food for everybody. And it would be embarrassing to have 25 people show up. I mean, 50 people. You cook for 50 people, and 75 people show up because they didn't want to write their name down. All right, so get you a babysitter. You've known this. I've been announcing it since December. All right, so next Wednesday, that's today, next Wednesday, we're taking that sheet down. And I'll promise you, don't ask, can you come after that time? You will probably get mad at me. I like it when it's quiet. Because, listen, we do. It's an effort. Y'all just don't know the effort. Listen, we're all built for that. We're built to do that. We don't begrudgingly do it. We do it for y'all. We pay for everything. So just be real courteous and say, yes, I'm coming, and go write your name down, whoever you're bringing. Go write their name down on that list downstairs. It's getting pretty full. There's a good many people there. But just make sure that you don't come up next Sunday and say, oh, I want to go. Ain't going to happen. Sorry. Not going to let it happen. Okay? So you got time. We're human beings. We forget. We make mistakes. But every service, I announce it. So we want to be able to have fun. We are going to have fun, whether you come or not. We are going to have fun. So we love you. We love you. We want everybody to come and be able to. We got the whole group from Ohio's coming. Along with a couple of the in-laws, they're coming down. And so that's going to be another 12 to 14 people that are coming in. We've already got places for them to stay and transportation, so we don't worry about them. You just make sure you write your name down if you're coming and then show up at the banquet. Make sure you wear proper attire. This is not blue jeans and T-shirts. All right? You need to somewhat dress up a little bit. Amen? And I want one more thing before we get started. I do not know how in the world and why a man would want to change himself into a woman. I've had to dress June for 4 or 5 days. I never put so many hooks, straps, pins, hair clips. Sister Alicia, I did a good job Wednesday night, though. I braided her hair. How many of you guys can do that? Yeah, I didn't today because we were running a little bit late, but I don't know why in the world. Just put on your jeans and your shirt and come on to church. You know, no, not with a sister. You can't do that. It will make me a little more lenient with some of your sisters that might show up a little bit late. Get your husbands to help you. You might get here on time. But we thank the Lord for prayers for Sister June. Her pain's been minimal, and she's a good patient. Amen. There's some that are not good patients. She's a good patient. So sign up. Remember, by the 25th, it's coming. All right, Brother Dutch Scott will be with us that weekend on February the 12th. We'll have one service on Sunday. Also remember, how's Kip? Is he in his rehab? So he's conscious. Oh, praise God. Amen. Man, when we were there last Saturday, he was not. He was out. And they were thinking the worst. But we see that the best. We're gonna let God assist the assistants. And let him do his work through the rehab people. And we'll get a report that he'll come out of this. And looking like death 5 days ago, wonderful looking like life now. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. You just go believing and keep believing, keep pushing, keep pressing. Listen, the victory belongs to you and me. The victory does not belong to the devil. It belongs to me and you. So let's go to the Word of God. This would be part 85. And want to kind of move it over just a little bit. And I was thinking yesterday about a certain thing about discernment. So we'll get into that real quick. So remember all those that are out sick, mom, dad, Sister Frida. Y'all know we've been keeping up with her. We've been praying with her on the phone, different things, keeping her on our prayers. And you just keep doing that. You keep fighting for her. Man, keep fighting for her. I want somebody to fight for me if I had to fight like that. And she's fighting. So we are fighting with her. Amen. Remember Brother Paul, too, taking care of her and all the different things. It's just the devil. Maybe to see what we'll do about it. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Forgive us of our faults and our failures. We're human beings. But Lord, as you said through Brother Ernie, and we always think about it, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual people, Lord, having a human experience. We've come to this earth, Lord. The Holy Ghost that's inside us was before the foundation of the world. It's a part of you. We're going to read, Lord, where the prophet of God says, we are your righteousness because ours is filthy rags. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today. We were the ones that are sick. Bless the ones that are on highways. Bless the ones that are doing the work in a foreign country, Father. Also remember Brother Noel Johnson and Sister Shirley, Lord, as we keep up with them, Lord, by email. And they're over in India doing the work there for a few months. We pray that you'd protect them. Keep the sickness away from them. Keep diseases, Lord, away from them. And may their journeys and travel be wonderful and they come back home with a good report. Father, we pray that you would just take care of us now. Be with us in this service. You give revelation because we can't. Father, just use us by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This would be part 85 on the Son of Man. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can go ahead and sit down. Also remember Sister Monica and the kids and them are over in Beaufort. I think they had a shower or something for Esther. You know, she's getting married in March. So remember that to RSVP to that if you're going to go. All right, it's about 4 hours from here. And it will be on the 25th of March. I left my thing in the back, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So that's where Sister Monica and them are today. So let's just remember them in prayer. Genesis 2:9. Now, we're going to talk today about knowledge. And knowledge has two parts to it. There's human natural knowledge. And then there's a knowledge that came off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everybody with me? All right? There's two trees. One is the tree of life. God said if you'll eat from that tree, you'll never die. But the first bite you take off of this tree, you're going to die. All right, so that's one. Remember what happened. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden. We don't have to discuss that. We're all home folks today. We don't have to discuss what went on in the garden. All right, so we know that it was the fall of man, the fall of mankind, and as soon as that happened, man began to have to take a sacrifice. Abel, Cain, there's many people in the message and preachers that I know that sadly think that Abel was so righteous he didn't need a sacrifice. Well, you're going to have to change the Bible. You're going to have to change the prophet's message. He was born in sin. He was born by an act that should have never been. The same way as Cain. Cain was born by an act that should have never been. So they both needed a sacrifice. They both were lost. Just Abel got a revelation. And we're going to read here in just a few minutes what Brother Brown said about revelation. There's nothing more powerful than a revelation. And I'll read it to you in just a little while. Because we're talking about knowledge today. That's where revelation comes. It comes from a knowledge of what? The truth. Amen. But now you can keep a knowledge of the truth and die and go to hell. Those who have come to the knowledge of the truth. Remember, we're going to read that in just a little bit. So Isaiah 28:9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Me. Me. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Me. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, growth development. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about adoption and placing of sons. God, I was listening to a minister last night, and he did a real good job. You know, Brother Brown said there's been brides, churches. He continues all the way down. He said, but they'll come one. See, listen, we're a bride out of a bride. We're a bride out of a church. We're a church out of a church. Everybody with me? Because we're the bride. But there's been brides down through the ages. There's been brides. There's been brides in every church age. But he said they would come one. There'll be a group of people that'll be the bride of Laodicea, but there'll be a group that'll be called out of that to a body change. Right. So there'll be a group of people inside of a group of people. Right. And that's us. There's no more church ages back that way. Sure, we're living in Laodicea, but we're not of Laodicea. Right. We have, listen, if you got Laodicea ideas, you're lost. Well, it's the truth anyhow. And then what? Isaiah 53. Where are we going to find this knowledge? We're going to find it in Jesus Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's not our knowledge. I'll read it to you in a few minutes. We're a very familiar scripture. He says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if you think your thoughts were something, you better match it to that one. And if it's contrary to that one, it's come from somebody else. It come from that other guy. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Who? Me. Let's make this personal today. For he shall bear their iniquity. He bore our iniquity. He took our shame. He washed us and cleaned us up. Listen, if he picked that jar up, praise God. If God picks you up out of the world, then he's got something to do with you. He didn't pick you up and say, I don't think I want to use that one. I'll use another one. Listen, God doesn't ever make a mistake. Amen. He never makes a wrong move. If he reaches, amen. Sister Regina, if he reaches, he's going to do something with it. Amen. You and I may reach for something and go, no, don't want to use that. But he doesn't reach for something and not use it. But remember, he said there's vessels of what? Honor. And there's vessels of dishonor. All right? And that's made up with you. You understand which one that is. Because you know what? You can let God pick you up in justification. You can let him clean you up in sanctification. But you can say, no, I don't want you to use me fully. You can say that yourself. And stop and be the quote where Brother Brown says you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit, which is that sanctification part, and die and go to hell. You got to have the inside guy. The unclean spirit's got to go out of the inside guy. As we were talking, now today, go ahead and pull the chart up if you don't mind, please. We were talking the other day. We know now that the unclean spirit, if you're born again today, if you're born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, the fire of God has cleaned your soul out, you're perfect. If he cleans you out, you're perfect. You're bride. But he doesn't want to just put the baby in the closet. Right. Brother Anderson, if they can't find it, that's okay. But if they can, I appreciate you pulling it up. We don't need to stay babies. We need to eat. We need to be a functional group of believers. Not just, I'm in the message. I don't cut my hair. I don't do this. I do this. I don't do that. I do this. I don't do that. You can be lost as Judas. Judas had a ministry, cast out devils, went to church. He was the treasurer of the church, Brother Brown said. Held the money bag. And he fooled everybody but one man. He didn't fool the Son of Man. He fooled every one of them but one guy. And that's why we've come to the place where we're going to start talking about the Son of Man a little bit later. Because the Son of Man never was fooled. Never. Never was he fooled. Never did he not have an answer. Never did he back up from a challenge. Amen? But some of us, see, that's what I mean about babies. When we become babies, we back up from a challenge sometimes. Because we don't know how to handle it. We don't have enough knowledge. We don't have enough virtue. That's why I said there's going to be Christians that praise God, they're Christians. But they're not even going to live in the city. I said Christians. I didn't say bride. Bride lives in the city. There ain't going to be a lot of Christians, a lot of people saved. Because there's a group of people that believes, John 3:16. They'll come to a sanctified condition, and that's as far as they can go. That's as far as their teachers can teach them. That's as far as their denomination will let them go. But if they live the true word of God, they will be saved. But not full of the Holy Ghost. Read Anointing Ones at the End Time, folks. Like somebody said one time, I read that first thing, and it scared me to death. It ought to scare you to death. It ought to scare you to death that we've been sitting here in the message church 50 or 60 years and ain't got enough discernment for stuff. Don't have enough discernment to know right from wrong. As we get closer to the headstone, it should be easier for us to believe the Word of God, act on the Word of God, and become the Word of God. It should be easier. It's easier for you to be a functional human being. A baby is not a functional human being. Can they take yourself to the store? Can they drive a car? Can they make decisions about their life? No. What do they need? They need an adult. They need a fivefold ministry to teach them how to get to there. Then if they become a baby and stay a baby, it's your fault. If you set on the ministry, though, that teaches you the right thing like we have had for 50 years, then there's no excuse for you to stay a baby. Good to be a baby. We've got some of you that's told me that you've got the Holy Ghost in the last year. That's great. You're a babe in Christ. But remember, it's just the door's wide open. You don't have to say, well, do I need to go over here? Do I need to go over here? Is that right? Is this right? No, this is true. Amen. And see, that comes from your soul. That's the faith or doubt. That's all we got today. Then in the spirit realm is what we're working on these virtues, because the spirit is what? Imagination, conscious, memory, reason, affection. See, that's where Satan got to Eve in that spirit realm. Because in her soul, she was eternal. God purposed that for a reason. Because Adam was eternal. He put eternal life in Adam. He put eternal life in Eve because she was a part of him. Listen, the reason God put eternal life in Jesus Christ is because he put it in you. Is he not the first Adam? Are we not the second Eve? We're not going to fall like that first Eve did, though. But some has. Denominations, back in the ages, they fell. That's why Christ had to put them away. That's why he had brides, churches. Listen, he put her away and gave her a writing of divorcement. That's why it's so important to understand marriage and divorce so much in the spiritual realm as you do in the natural realm. You got to understand that we are and can be prostitutes to this word. Amen. We can take on a new doctrine. Hey, listen, I'm so glad a prophet came in the end time. Aren't y'all glad a prophet came in the end time? Because he stood there one day and he told us, he said, I was discerning, and that's what we're going to get to. I was discerning this brother. Remember, he tells a story. And he said, I went to talk to that brother about what? Running around on his wife. Right? He thought this brother was running around on his wife because he had an adulterous spirit on him. Everybody with me? What was his problem? He was not an adulterer. He was fooling with a denominational church. Now, come on, somebody. That ought to tell you one thing for sure. Be careful what you got stuck in your head. Oh, that's out there. No, it's in here. We can have a denominational idea sitting right here. Because if it's your own idea, it's a denominational idea. Amen? So now we're working then in the spirit realm. And that's where Satan, he can forget about the body. The body only moves as I'm telling my hands to move. If I tell them to stop, they stop. They just don't continue doing this. Right? So don't worry about your body. Listen, our body's falling apart. There's nothing we can do about that at the moment. Oh, yours okay? Brother Kylie, I know he's smiling, so am I. Got up the other day, my knee that never, my knees never hurt. I turned one way and found out I had a left knee that was hurting. It was because I was outside playing football with somebody. It was just because I was walking. Come on now. But we have to take care of this body. We understand that. But listen, Jesus said, don't worry about what goes in and out of your body, though, and into your mouth and going out, you know, he talked about going out the other side. He said, you worry about what goes in the heart. Amen. Because out of the heart, I'm speaking to you today. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that out of the heart, a Holy Ghost-filled person can teach you something. Yes. Not this world. Listen, all those with Mike Lucado, James Dobson, all those different ones, they have their points. They have their times. But I'd rather listen to the prophet of God. I know that's right. I don't know what, because listen, when they teach what they teach, what's their idea? God's three. Hell's eternal. Hello, somebody. You never thought about that, have you? When they speak, their knowledge, their discernment of the Bible is wrong. Amen? Because they're Trinitarians. That's why God had to send us a prophet to straighten all that out. And praise God. I read this the other day, and you read it different now. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Now, remember, we always say you. And he didn't say, I'll turn the head. He said, I'll turn your heart. Amen. He went right down into the soul of man. And to prove it, he discerned the thoughts and intents of their heart. That was discernment going on. That was down in the soul part. That wasn't in their spirit. He went way down in that throne room. He said, I can feel that you're a Christian. Or he says, you're not saved, son. You need to get saved and God will heal you from that smoking or heal you from whatever that is. And he even discerned where old mama would stand there and she'd be crying. And he said, I see you got a son that's lost. Now, that wasn't from her mind. Sure, she was thinking about it. That was the filter that he came through. But it was down in her soul. That's my kids. When Hattie Wright said, that ain't nothing but the truth, that came from her soul. That did not come from her affection. Yeah, you say, oh, it was. No, it came from what? It came from agape love that was inside the lady to speak. And her kids were saved. We ought to try that sometime. But the unclean spirit's going out. It's out of our soul now. That's white. That's okay. We're good. We're ready. But the spirit realm is where the battle is. It's where the fight is. You see those two swords up there. That's where the fight is. It's in the spirit realm. It's in a place of discernment. Look, discernment is the kitchen. It's where you eat. It's where you get fed. It's where you let out what's inside. You ever heard that before? But that's what we're working on now. Those of you that are born again, we are working on the spirit realm. The one you live in 99% of your time, because according to the Bible, that your soul is now sitting in heavenly places. Tomorrow's Monday, right? That's not a heavenly place. I'm sorry for those of you that need to work. Those of you that don't work, don't worry about it. We're going to work, so we pay your salary, okay? Keeping y'all afloat. That's what I tell them men at the store. They say, where are you going? I said, I'm going to work so you don't have to. They said, keep going. Pay taxes. But the spirit realm, affection, reason, memory, conscience, imagination, that all, listen, when you were born, you had those qualities because you're a human. But that affection was what? Bible says set your affections on things above. So our affection was set where? On things below. Our affection was we loved the world and the things of the world. We reasoned away, I'm not going to church, I might get something. Amen? Listen, if you, some of y'all are sick on Sunday, don't worry, once you get up Monday, you'll be healed. Maybe we don't need a prayer line on Monday, you just automatically get healed. You go right on to work and everything's fine. Sunday is, I can't go to church. I just can't hardly make it. I'll be at work tomorrow, though. Our memory, our conscience, and our imagination. How many times have you heard people say, I imagine? That's you. God don't imagine nothing. He don't sit and imagine something. And what about a brain, though? But think about what we're going to have. If we have the mind of Christ, it's supposed to be heading toward that direction. To where our thoughts are his thoughts. Our ways are his ways. That's why Paul said we need the mind of Christ in the Old Testament. He said, your ways are not my ways. But I'm coming to show you the way to think like I do. You say, we can't do that. Yes, you can. No, I'm sorry, you can't. But yes, you can through him if you get him in that control tower. But what was all these virtues? It was to obey what God said. It's what brought the power. So if we don't have power in our life, we're not doing everything God told us to do. Okay? That's what brought the power, is what brought the virtue, is obedience to the word of God. And remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes the word of God is sharp. It's cutting. We have emotions. We have feelings. We have all these things. That's human. That's human. But what does the word of God say? That's the top line. That ain't the bottom line. That's the top line. What does the word of God say? Well, I don't think I ought to have to go to church. What does the word of God say? Just go back to the word of God. Read that. I'd hate to have to know I couldn't go to church. Have you ever had that attitude? Some of you already get that attitude. That you, what Brother Ram says, can't wait for the doors to get open. That's exactly what I'm talking about. My desire is to go to church. Now, if I got the same spirit you do, you ought to have the same desire. Now, when this great Elijah comes, what? He'll be taking the message of Pentecost to turn the children to the faith of the fathers. Where? In their heart. Then work on the outside guy or the middle guy. They didn't, look, because they didn't keep the same faith that was back there at the beginning. We read Abraham's covenant. But watch, John appears, he turns the hearts. Like I said before, we'll skip through that. I just said, told you that's what Elijah is to do. Come and change your heart, not your head. Not give you head knowledge. Listen, I've heard people in the message, and I can't stand this. One thing I can't stand is, I know more than you do. I know more than you do, so I don't have to listen to you. I know more than you do. Brother Brown sat down one time and listened to, who was it? He listened to, what was the president before Ford? Nixon. He sat down and listened to Nixon when he was in Washington before they had that video. He sat down and listened, now not to a sermon, but he listened to a speech. Because in turn, that president came to one of Brother Brown's meetings. Of course, he wasn't president then. He was like a senator or something. Brother Brown never said, I'm not going down there to listen to that guy because I know more than he does. Now, that's a totally horrible attitude to have. All right? Now, I know some of us, we do the same thing. We have our favorite preachers and we have our ones that we don't want around anymore. Listen, if they've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, surely they say, one thing that'll help you. I'll clap for that one. I will restore to you the years that the locusts eat. Look what we have in the end time. We have the ability for that bride tree to be restored to its fullness so it can grow fruit out at the end, so it can have leaves, so it can have fellowship. And have fellowship not because everybody likes your ship. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. I am not ashamed of this Bible. I'm not ashamed of this message of the hour. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed God sent a prophet. I'm not ashamed to go to Lula Church. Because I want to come to that right there. I want to come to die. I want you to come more than I do me. Because maybe God will put somebody that will help me. Some of y'all with your wings on, you help me, please. The position of a believer. Now, this is adoption real quick. Does everybody understand adoption or do I need to go over it? Anybody not? Okay. I'll let you know then. So what happens, don't think, hey, listen, we're not leaving anybody. We're taking everybody with us. Amen. We're going, everybody's going. We're not leaving somebody. So listen. Adoption is not, when you say that in your head as an American, you think of that you can't have a child or you see somebody in foster care and you want to adopt them into your family. That's not what that means. Because listen, God does not adopt Satan's kids. He adopts his kids he already has. If you'll grow to that, you've all got the potential. But look, as soon as the boy is born, in other words, as soon as you're born again, you're a child of God. Amen. And you get all the potential. Amen. Everything God has in the Bible. Yes, everything God has in the message of the hour. You get that piled inside of you. Amen? Amen. Well, as soon as the boy was born, he was the son of that family. He was born into that family. But he was not adopted. He was not somewhere to where he looked, the father looks over and says, here, run my factory. Takes the keys and throws them out in the yard. Or takes them and sticks them in his mouth. You see, that's a baby. But you don't say, well, that's not my kid anymore. No. Once a son, you're a son. Once you're born again, God can't take that back. He won't take it back. He has a purpose for you somewhere down the line. The father loved him, of course. Then we talk about Galatians. We've been over this before a little bit. We're going to continue to go over it again. So what happened when the full gospel church began way yonder years ago? They became sons of God. Listen, if, like I said before, the bride has been in every church age. That's sons of God. But they have not come to full adoption because full adoption is every word of God. Correct. Every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not every word of God Trinitarian. Every word of God eternal hell. Every word of God baptized Father, Son, Holy. That's not the word of God. Everybody with me on this? That's not the word of God. That's why God had to send us a prophet. So there's no excuse if you sit here and listen to whoever it is. The Holy Spirit's your tutor. The things you used to do, you don't do anymore. Why? Because if you do the same thing you did before, where's the spirit of the one that did it? Now, we know that it moves out into the second realm. Everybody with me? Then that's when we have problems too. Right? That's when the devil can punch back. Listen, the devil didn't punch me when I was in the world. I was one of his. He'd pat me on the back and say, go, buddy. Go, buddy. Well, guess what? When I got born again, God said, go, buddy. I got on the right team. And the Holy Spirit is the tutor to raise them in admonition of God. Not to raise you emotionally, but spiritually. That's why, look, they hated Jesus Christ. They hated him enough to kill him. You're Beelzebub. We don't even like you to be in this temple. Come on, somebody. That was the Son of Man. That was what you and I are supposed to be right now today. The world, eventually, I promise you, the world will hate you as much as they hate Jesus Christ. If you become Jesus Christ. If you stay with half the world and half with, they don't care. I don't care anymore. It really doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want to, and you're going to heaven. My Bible says, let's go back to the Bible. My Bible says, hell hath enlarged its gates. Hell hath enlarged, for what? Because hell wasn't made for humans. It was made for the devil and his angels. That's why the prophet of God said, you crawl over the cross to get to hell. And there's going to be a lot of good religious people in hell, I'm sorry. Now, so Tudor's been watching. Down through the ages, he's watching. And listen, God knows your heart. Look at David. How many of y'all, any of y'all a murderer? But don't raise your hand. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah. Turn the cameras off. Yeah. Any of y'all been a liar? It more than twice? Okay. Altar. David was a liar. He was an adulterer. He didn't just murder his best friend. He premeditated to murder his best friend. To take his wife because he'd done what he did. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. Isn't that what he said? And he said, I'm going to establish a kingdom by this guy. And you're going to rule and reign on the king, on David's throne for 1,000 years. The son of David. Why? He looked at David's heart. We've had the same. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. Brother Brown said, you can kill them with your influence. We try to look at all the physical things. A lot of times they're spiritual. And that's why we want to work in that spirit realm more than we've ever worked before. It's have I offended my brother? Have I offended my sister? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? Listen, God. That's why God give us a fivefold ministry. To break these things down, and I appreciate these brothers that's been here that break it down, and the ones that are here today, well, one of them, but the other two's overseas. They couldn't get here this morning. They have an excuse. But look, they've seen the age of birth. You say born again? That's right. Correct. You're just as much a son as you ever will be when you're born again. But what, Brother Branham? But the tutor bringing word to the father. Then if the tutor comes to the father and the boy becomes about age, about where the church ought to be now, comes of age, in other words, able to drive, able to write a check, able to run the company. When he comes of age, brightened up, praise God, we all need that, seasoned, according to time when the boy become of age, the tutor come to the father. Who's the tutor? The Holy Ghost. Now listen, there's not three. There's not a person down here that goes to a person up here. The Holy Ghost is just God in another form. And he's in the form where he's watching you to see what you'll do. And see the boy being a son already, but yet if he wasn't a worthy son, the father could not adopt him. Or place him in his own family. So remember, it's not like adoption like we think about adoption. You adopting, what you're doing is, let me tell you what this is. This is adopting what's in the father into the son. His father, his own blood, his own genetics, his own person. Amen? Isn't that what the new birth is? It's putting God in us. Amen. All right, so he puts God in us, and then what? We're supposed to act like? That would be God. If he wasn't a worthy son, the father couldn't adopt him or place him in his own family. Look, he couldn't do it because the boy would run through what he had. He was a restless child. He didn't have the ability to carry on with his father's work. Look, so the father didn't throw him out. The father didn't throw the prodigal son out. The prodigal son left. So the father just let him go on as a son. He was already a son. But if he was a fine boy, he was about his father's business. And the tutor brought word to the father saying that the son is fine. He's eligible. He's all right. Then the father took the son out in a public place as a public testimony. And he put a special robe on him and set him up before the people. And father, by doing this, give the son the authority over his kingdom, over his business. That's why God gives us power and authority. We just got to get it. And listen, then we got to know how to use it. That's why power without character is what? Satanic. The son had a right to go out and do certain things in the kingdom. Listen, we have a right to do things. We have a right to pray for the sick. Amen. We have a right to testify. We have a right to baptize people. Amen. Doesn't take just a preacher. If can we find Brother Dale or me or whoever? No. Amen. Do it yourself. Amen. Here we sit. Here not we sit, but here sit a crowd of people. The greatest healing campaign that had ever been since Jesus Christ was here was William Branham, right? He was getting ready to call a prayer line. And I'm just saying, all right, this is us not adopted. You got to come up here and let me pray for you. I'm prophet. You got to come listen to me. You got to come up here and let me pray for you. I'm the one that did it. All right, and I'm going to lay my hands on you. No. Little girl comes to, little lady comes to a prayer line with a baby. He said, oh, sister, I see you, so-and-so. He said, oh, he said, your baby's healed. Said, that sister sitting right there was a mama. She laid her hands on you and prayed and entered into that with you, and you're healed. Amen. He said, give God praise. Amen. He could have said, oh, now, wait a minute, I still need to pray for you because I'm mama so-and-so. No. God would have never used William Branham if he had been that way. He was the most humble man that ever was. Amen. And he gave all the glory to God. And please let us be that way, that everything we have, we give the glory to God, not the glory to some man. All right. And do certain things in the kingdom with the same kind of authority that his father had. So now that starts with virtue. And that virtue what? Is strength and power. It's not being a virgin. It's good to be a virgin. But it means strength and power. A virtuous woman, a bride, is a crown to her husband. You and I are the crowning effect of Jesus Christ. You and I, don't worry. We got, you know, the Bible says, talk about crowns and crowns and crowns. Don't worry, there's not going to be so many crowns on your head. Because the Bible says we throw them all down at his feet. And we crown him King of Kings and him Lord of Lords. I ain't worried about a crown. Listen, you know why they put crowns on people's head? You know why? Authority, number one. But in the Greek, when they had an Olympics, if you won the Olympics, they gave you a crown. Amen. That was what you won for finishing the race. Amen. A lot of times it wasn't a crown that you see, but it was a crown. It was something. It was something what? To say, hey, this guy, he ran this race and he won. Listen, when you win this race and win, you're not going to get a great big crown. You are the crown. But he that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. So now let's talk about knowledge. Everybody with me? Are we good today? Hot up here. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. What does knowledge mean? Knowledge means gnosis. Now watch what it means too, though, in the big letters. Such as belongs to the more advanced. Okay? You say, well, brother, I'm just a baby. You have an opportunity to know more. It has been presented to you. It's given to you in book and tape form. It's given to you on Sunday and on Wednesday. If you want to know where to find God, he comes in this door at 9, about 9:30, when y'all get down, sit down in the pew. And then he leaves with you and comes back at 2 o'clock. Where's God? Well, I just told you. Oh, so you just believe this is just a place we come and we sit? No. Heavenly places is your position, the prophet of God said. Your position in Christ, that's heavenly places. It's him being able to put you as a teacher and as a Sunday school director and as a song leader and as a piano player and a music player. And thank God for all these musicians we got. I wish we had a stage enough to put all of them. But you know what? Maybe we can do it in shifts or something. Maybe, I don't know. But we got so many musicians now, I praise God for that because you're using your talent. Even little Sarah and different ones, they're playing the piano. Amen. Playing the piano, and then Ryan jumps up here and plays the piano one day. Such as belong to the more advanced, especially if things look lawful and unlawful for Christians. Discern. We'll get into that in just a second. Moral wisdom, such as is seen in right living. Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen. My heart. Try me. Oh, we don't want that part. We don't want that part. Let's leave that one out. No, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. I love that song too, by the way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yes. Listen, we're all thieves, murderers, liars, stealers, adulterers. He said right here, he'll abundantly pardon you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes. That's the Old Testament. But when we come over to the New Testament, Paul says we need to have the mind of Christ. Right. We need to think his thoughts. Then we get Brother Brown comes up and said, you will think his thoughts. When you keep coming up with faith, virtue, and all the temperance, patience, then you become a powerhouse. Amen. Powerhouse. Not a refrigerator that makes ice cubes. You know what an ice cube does? You know what an icicle does? That's an icicle. You get fire God built under you one day, you'll see what's going on. Get out of the refrigerator. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree. And here we go with the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Now, we know, who is that? That's Jesus Christ. We understand that. All right. It was a person. It wasn't a tree growing in the ground. It was a person. The tree of life in the midst, look, in the midst of the garden. In the heart of the garden is where that tree of life should be. But we chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil to be in that place. You said, I didn't have a choice. Yeah, Brother Brown said you did by accepting what Adam and Eve did. And the Lord said, behold, the man has become as one of us. This is after the fall. To know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, he take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, there was no gap. God had to take that and make a gap or an enmity. He had to get away from man. Come on, somebody. I can't stand that sin no more. I can't walk in the garden with you. I know what you've done. And also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and flaming swords, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Yes. But he did not say that you'll never get back to the tree of life, because he became the tree of life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The cherubims didn't, what Brother Bram tell us, he told us the cherubims were there to keep us from that. But he said, now, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, those cherubims are what? They're given authority to lead us back to the tree of life, to get us back in the Garden of Eden. If y'all like this place, I'm just sorry. I do not like this place. The Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you'll eat freely. Eat all you want. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat it, therefore thou shalt surely die. And we know that man has died ever since. Amen. Adam died. 900-something years old, but Adam died. Eve died. Probably 900-something years old. She died. Methuselah, different ones. They all died. Every man's died. We know there's Enoch, and then, you know, that's another whole sermon. And Jesus Christ even died. Oh, Jesus died. Okay? The Christ didn't die. The Holy Ghost didn't die. But Jesus, the body, died. Everybody with me on that? All right? He didn't become Jesus. Listen now. He didn't become Jesus, the human, till 2,000 years ago. Hello? He was theophany God. He was Jehovah. How many times have we been preaching on Genesis 1:26? That was theophany. That was spirit God. But that spirit God had to become flesh and dwell among us and be born from a virgin. Had to be born from a womb just like you are. To take on what? Our sin. He came down in the midst of this garden to take away the mist from this garden. M-I-S-T. Everybody with me? Some of you got that. You smile. Some of you still, well, you got to open your eyes to be able to smile. These saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is the book of Revelation. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Corinthians and all the different ones that had false doctrine back in the first church age. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They were tried and found to be liars, and hast borne in patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember. Remember where you fell from. Remember where you said what? You just said I couldn't fall. I didn't say you couldn't backslide. You a Christian, you backslide. But like Brother Bram said, you sin a sin, you'll reap a tubful. Look at David. Look at David. Murder, liar, thief, adulterer. Man after my own heart. But you did what you did. You can't build me a temple. He said the sword will always be in your house. Remember the boys, all his boys, were every one of them almost were just rascals. They went in into their half-sister and they took over the kingdom and Absalom and all the different ones. And all that was one that was really horrible. Come from David's loins. But there was a Solomon that came too. So remember that. Therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And look, do your first works. Turn your heart back. Or else I'll come unto thee and remove your candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. God's a loving God. Yeah, God's a loving God, but he hates Nicolaitan spirit. I'm reading you the Bible. All right? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Oh, now we can get back. First church age. Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Started the first church age. Amen? Now we can get back to the tree of life. That's what you're eating on now if you're born again. You're eating on that tree of life. You're eating. He told him. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Which is in the mist. Do you know where the paradise of God is right now? Sitting inside of you. Amen. Oh, no. You know, and it's okay. I'm not going to be mean, but, you know, people die and they don't know the truth. And they say, oh, so-and-so's walking the streets of gold with Jesus right now. Well, no, he's not. According to the prophet, that don't happen until we get way over in the future home. See, thank God for a teacher. We know they're in the sixth dimension. We know they're in a place of bliss. They're in a place of what? They're in a place of eternity. But guess what they said to Brother Branham? We got to come back there.
Yes. Amen.
Got to come back here and pick up what connected them to this earth was their human body. Praise God that we got a prophet to tell us that. Then this earthly tabernacle, if it be dissolved, you got one waiting. Where's it waiting? It's inside of you.
Yeah.
Isaiah 28 said, whom shall he teach knowledge? Like I said before, me. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Me. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. We continue with knowledge. This is what man says about knowledge. It's the fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity. I was had a hard time saying that the other day. It's, in other words, it's familiar. Gained through what? Experience. Or association. Acquaintance with or understanding of science, art, or technique. The fact or condition of being aware of something. You have a knowledge of something. There's a knowledge that something's going on in this building today. There's a knowledge that something's going on in your everyday life. There's a knowledge of something that's going on in your family life. There's a knowledge of something that, praise God, somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's God. You say, well, I'm thinking the bad thoughts. You need to start thinking the good ones. Your guardian angel does not take a vacation. Praise God. We'd all be dead by now. Mine's going to look like an MMA fighter. They're lost. But praise God, we got one. Brother Brown said, what? Believers have angels. And you know what? They're not one of them. If they're from God, they're not contrary to God. They have the mind of God. So they're not going to steer you wrong. If somebody steers you wrong, that's the other guy got involved. The fact or condition of being aware of something. The range of one's information or understanding. Now, see, that's man's knowledge of being a doctor or having all these degrees, but not with God. We had a seventh grade education man that couldn't say much. He probably couldn't say that word either. But you know what? I understood everything he said. There wasn't one time I said, what'd he say? No, I know exactly what he was talking because he's talking like me. The Bible said Jesus, the common people, heard him gladly. He must have spoke a very common language. Amen. The circumstance or condition of what? Apprehending truth. Amen. We're not going up in steps to a perfect man apprehending false doctrine. Or fact through reasoning. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, happy is a man that findeth wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain therefore of fine gold. Listen, it's good to have money. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to burn.
That's right.
Money's not going to get us out of here. And if we love it, it's the root of all evil. It's not bad to have it, but it says the love of money is the root of all evil. She is more precious than rubies. Who is she? Now look. Stop here just a second. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? He talks about wisdom, talks about understanding. And happy is the man that findeth this. So this she is not the man. This she is you. Miss wisdom. Miss grace. Not disgrace. Miss grace. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. That's the kind I want. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. She is a tree of life, not he. We've been transformed. She is him. Can you believe that? She is a tree of life to them that what? Lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. You know what retain means? Hold. So you can use it. You give a lawyer a retainer. And that, in other words, that makes him where when you call him, he's got to answer your phone call. He don't blow you off. You give him a retainer. All right, you give him something to hold on to what you got. Well, happy is everyone that what? Retaineth her. The Bible says that if you're good to a saint, God will be good to you. Right. Cup of water in my name will not be forgotten. That's why the glory and honor of God is inside of you today. Amen. And the world is only being held together because we're still here. Amen. Only thing that's holding us together. Because I'm telling you, the Gentiles will absolutely destroy each other. They all want to destroy Israel anyway. So they're destroyed. They're going to destroy their self. And then they're going to what? Circle around Israel. And then who's going to come on the scene? God's going to fight for Israel because he can't forget them. Even though he divorced them, even though they went out and sinned and did the things they did, God said, I'll not ever forget Israel because I was once married to you. And you turned away from me. I had to give you a writing of divorcement so I can take a Gentile bride. Knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Let me stop right here real quick. You kids go to school. Get you a diploma, a degree. You can't make it in this world without it. I'm sorry. If time tarries, I do not want to see you. You're going to struggle enough with a degree. Amen? So get an education, all right? Whether it be homeschooling or what, I'm not, any time you can get a diploma, it doesn't matter to me how you get it, but you need to get a diploma. You need to go to school. because that's foolishness to God. But now some of that junk they're teaching with creationism and not creationism, but Darwinism and all that stuff, you can be a, you got to be the Holy Ghost to your kids. If they bring that stuff home, go to that teacher. Say, we don't believe in Darwin. We're Christians. We believe. See, you stand up for what? If you'll stand up for me, I'll stand up for you. I'm reading the Bible. Knowledge to what? Judge what? Right from wrong. How do you judge it? You don't judge it by emotion. You don't judge it by feeling. You judge it by the Word of God. Amen. Then if you've got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith, you judge whether the Word is right or wrong. You judged one day that Trinitarianism was right, but it was a wrong judgment. But one day when you saw the truth, something inside of you, just like Sister Hattie Wright said, that ain't nothing but the truth. This message, when you see this message and you see the message, you got to say in your soul, that ain't nothing but the truth. Now you're getting knowledge. That's supreme knowledge. You don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it, because all these virtues are given to you by God to place upon the foundation of your faith, that you might come to the full stature of a real living man and woman of God. All right? Let me continue. Let me get through some of this. You don't add nothing because you ain't got it to add. What you got to do? You haven't got knowledge enough to know of God yet that the Bible doesn't contradict itself. I think everybody sitting in this room, we don't have any strangers among us, I think everybody in this room understands that the Word of God's right. Amen. And that's what we live by. Amen? And we live by the enhanced version of the message of the hour with the Bible. All right? It's not another Bible. It's not something instead of the Bible. It's the Bible completely just like, poof. To me, that's what this message is. When you read the message and you get a revelation, you're like, pow, man, it can't be no other way. How many times you sit down and look at something, you go, well, it couldn't have been no way, other way than that, but millions of other people think it's that way. Why? Revelation. We're going to get to that in a minute. But when you can see that Scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see by revelation of God, look, The whole word is written in mystery. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Man can't do it. Like I said before, when I was praying, God, you reveal to these people. Before I come out, I said, God, you reveal something to these people. That you can say that and can see that by the revelation of God, the whole word is written in mystery. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get and say, punctuate it with an amen, then add that to your faith. Brother Brown's praying, build me up, Lord, into this. Let Christ be my head that working through me. On my foundation, my faith is in him. Let virtue and all his temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness work in me, O Lord, is my prayer. I don't care, live or die, sink or drown. Have we come to that? I'm sold to this message. Amen. I'm sold to this message of the hour. You can bring me something else. That's okay. You're wasting your time. You know, the old brother always said, I rest my soul on Malachi 4. Well, I don't rest my soul exactly on what Malachi 4 says. I rest it on the whole Bible. All right. But I do rest it on Malachi 4 that he sent me a prophet. For God has set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, all for what? The perfecting of the saints and bringing all these virtues into it for the perfection of the coming of the Son of God. Each one of these stones are a material off of that one. This is the material off this. He's talking about the statue of perfect man. Belonging into them, they're pouring out of him, down through them. Amen. Real quick, the prophet of God told us, in the 70th week of Daniel, he said, the spirit of wisdom is coming into the church. Now, if you look where Brother Ram was standing, just for a minute, look where he was standing. All right, there was Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Oneness, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, all sitting in the congregation. They all thought they had the spirit of wisdom. Amen? Some people would kill you for their religion. Right. Or at least hate you if you're against their religion. But the prophet of God said the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. We're not living in Baptist day, Methodist day, Pentecostal day. We're living in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And that's what we're trying to get to. But we got to get the Son of God solidified and know that you know that you know that God can put that top on top. Listen, building a house, building a building, make sure what? Foundation's good first. When somebody comes in to build something in the city of Gillsville, he stops at the foundation. Because we got an inspector that comes and inspects that foundation to make sure it's up to code first. Then he puts the walls up, puts the sticks up, puts everything together. And then he comes back out again and he inspects it to make sure it's sound. Then you put your roof on. Then you start. Then after that, he really don't have to come around till the very end of it almost. What would it be, Brother Gary? It would be electrical and plumbing and stuff like that. But that has nothing to do with the structure. The structure of the house is the two befores, the foundation, the two befores, the blocks, and the rafters. We were talking one time about changing the roof of this, and it's sound as it is, but like Brother Gary said, we add more. Thank God for somebody like Brother Gary. See, you get somebody with some understanding. Because I'm like, build it! What's wrong? 2x4s. 2x6s. You got a nail gun? I'll buy you some nails. Brother Gary said, Brother Wade, said them walls can't handle that pressure. He said, I'd have to put like pylons or something down the side of this building. He said, or the walls would bow because of the more pressure that we put on the ceiling. Well, see, it took somebody like him to stop some dummy like me, or we'd all be flat as a pancake. Because I believe if I pushed him, he might have built it. But he'd be going, I don't think I'm going to do that. But you know what? That's the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe he's got the Holy Ghost, but that was just knowledge of what he was doing. Was telling me without that knowledge, yeah, it'd look really pretty to have a great big tall roof, but the walls can't handle it. Thank God for a master builder that we go, oh, I want to do this, Lord. I want to do this. I want to go get this job. I want to do this. I want to do that. Thank God for a master builder that says, no, you can't do that. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you the code book. And I'm going to tell you, you go back to this code book. That code book will tell you how to build your house. It'll tell you how to be a powerhouse of God. You just got to know your code. And you know what code is? Code is a revelation. You got to get the revelation. All right, let's do this real quick, and then we'll wait till this afternoon. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. Brother Brown said the spirit of wisdom will come back into the church. Spirit of wisdom. Not just a spirit. A spirit of wisdom will come into the church. That we can say amen to what's amen and kick out what's not right. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Real quick right here. Musicians, come on. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, Brother Ron was talking about the book of Revelations. It's the consummation of the scripture. Place right where it needs to be, where? At the end. Now, you can know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears it is blessed. It's a revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. Amen. And you can see why they who would add or take from it would be cursed. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It is simple. There is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word of God. No prevailing power. Nothing can overpower the Word of God. Let's continue right here just for a second. Everybody stand. I admit it takes a real revelation from the Holy Ghost to see the truth about the Godhead these days when we're in the midst of perversion or perverting of so much Scripture. But the prevailing, overcoming church is built on revelation. So we can expect God. How many come expecting? Amen. We expect God to reveal his truth to us. Amen. I expect that out of him. Because he's a good God. He's a good father. I just got to make myself available and quit being a renegade. However, you actually don't need a revelation on water baptism. Wow. It is right there staring you in the face. Wow. One more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding here. Have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and look, lean not on to your own understanding. We lean to the human part all the time. We know that. We need to lean back the other direction, because we know through wisdom is a house builded, just like I said about Brother Gary. And by understanding, look, by understanding, it's established. Brother Gary has never built a house that he just built and it's just sitting there. Right? Somebody occupies that place. It's an established home. We've seen many times when we were doing foreclosed homes and stuff. You leave a house, you take even a perfectly good house, and you leave it empty. Everybody's shaking their head already. You leave it empty for 6 months, 3 months, 6 months. You leave it for a year. Get what? You go by and drive by. It starts doing this on its own. You know why? There's no life there. There's no established family. That house has life. Well, praise God, how about this house? If you don't come to church, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't study, guess what? You start bowing out too. Your roof starts falling in. Your foundation's cracked. Let's get the master builder back and let him put this thing back together again. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Oh, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God, you are awesome in this place. I'm a father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God.
Sing it to him.
Oh, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God.
With them, Lord, and let it not bother them, Lord. Let it be a testimony, Lord, that everything's fine, Father. And if there is anything that needs to be corrected, Lord, give wisdom to the doctors, or Lord, before they even touch it, Lord, take it away from her. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You don't worry about it. It'll be okay.
This place, I'm a father. You are worthy of all praise. To you we raise. You are awesome.
Place. Sing it one more time.
Oh, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God.
Sing it to him.
You are awesome in this place. Abba Father. Awesome in this place, mighty God.
And we don't have to explain to our brethren what this is. Lord, we've seen many things happen, Lord, by the belief that these cloths are anointed, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for all the things you've given us, Lord, as far as the knowledge of this, Lord, that when this cloth will touch whatever it needs to touch, Father, that whatever it needs, Lord, that it'll touch and take away that evil spirit that's on the person, Lord, animal, whatever it is, Lord. We pray that you'll touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Just believe, man.
You are awesome in this place. Mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place.
Abba Father, you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. In
for his wife,
the
Lord, he doesn't have to know what this is. He already knows that it's a cloth that's been anointed, Lord, for healing, whatever it needs, Lord. When this cloth is placed on a person, we've seen many, many great miracles happen, Lord. Lord, I pray, let us see one more as this is placed on our sister, Lord. She wears herself out doing things for others and different family members and all, Lord. We pray that you'd give her strength, Father. Take some of the load off of her, Lord. And as she, Lord, sits where she is, Father, that instantly, before the cloth's even placed, Lord, that she'll be healed for your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it.
Presence.
Sing it to him. You need.
Oh, in the prayer.
You know, they knew him as Jehovah in the Old Testament, someone that you couldn't touch. Someone that he looked angrily through the fire and through the cloud. But that same Jehovah became Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one who'll give you peace if you'll just let him. Peace. Amen. Jehovah the Hold is Jesus of the New. Yes. Brother Ram said, I thought, a prophet said, I thought, hey, come on, I thought that God loved me, I mean, that God hated me and Jesus loved me. Right. Isn't that what he said? Right. Till he said, I come to the knowledge or the understanding or revelation that it's the same person. He was just in a different form. You couldn't reach him under the blood of bulls and goats, but now by him dying for your sins, the great Lamb of God will take your sin away. And you know what? You can go boldly to the throne of grace. You can go and touch him. He can be touched, what? By the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. If you have something in your life that you need, just pray to God. He'll be here to help you. I promise you, if you'll do what he says, he'll have to come on the scene. He'll have to come on the scene. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Excuse me. You be dismissed. We'll sing it again. We got voting for officers this afternoon and what? Something else. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, just show up at 2 o'clock. We'll do something. We'll have church. Amen. Is that all right? We'll have church. Love you. Appreciate you. Oh, remember Brother and Sister Dale. She's taking care of him and he's feeling a little weak, and he just needs everybody. Just lift that man up. Man, I'm telling you, they lifted Moses' arms up. They held him arms up, and we won a battle. Amen. So let's lift his hands up today. Let's lift his arms up with our strength to help us win that battle. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Forgive us of our many thoughts against you and our ideas. Lord, I pray that you would sanctify this people, Lord. We're getting ready to cross over, Lord. We're one day closer. We're one year closer. We're 1 minute closer to the coming of the Lord. It's going to happen. I just pray that we don't miss it, Father. I pray that we become so much like you, Lord, that we'll know your mind and we'll know your thoughts and we'll know the things that we need to do. And we'll know that you're the one true and living God. And that you've become now a revelation to each and every one of us. Lord, that we can take you and come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I have a need for my family. I have a need in my body. I have a need for my brothers and my sisters that are not here. I have need for my father and my mother, different things, Lord. Just claim them. We claim them, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we want to hear, Lord, good reports from everybody, Lord. And be with Brother Luis and I say them too, but there's more with them. I pray that you'd be with them, Sister Christine, and all the kids that are with them, Lord, Brother Michael. And take care of them, Lord, and lead them today. I know they're getting ready. I've been there many times before. It's an anxious day because you leave the next day, and then you know you got that long plane flight afterwards and connections and trying to get there on time. Lord, I pray that everything will be so supernaturally smooth that they won't have any trouble, Lord. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.
So spread your wings, little eagle.